Well, good morning. It's my privilege to bring the message from God's Word this morning. And I'm not as experienced as the people I call our Tier 1 preachers, like Paul and John, but here I am nonetheless. And preachers, no matter how competent, are sometimes brought down to earth. Billy Graham used to tell the story of an occasion early on in his preaching ministry of the time he was due to lead a crusade meeting in a town in South Carolina. And he stepped outside his hotel to post a letter. And there was a young boy there in the street outside, and he asked the young boy how he could get to the post office. Well, after the young boy had given him directions, Billy said, "If you come down to the Central Baptist Church tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." Well, the little boy replied, "No thanks, you don't even know how to get to the post office." I'm obliged to have a joke in there for "She Who Must Be Obeyed" each time I preach, so you'll bear with me. A couple of years ago, I preached about the saying, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." And I could never have known then what we would be experiencing now in this COVID pandemic. In fact, as we know, we have a new term to describe that period of time before 2020, pre-pandemic. How times have changed. Today, I want to revisit the question of those things, like the pandemic, that will pass, and those things, on the other hand, that will remain, the things that will persist. Now, if you imagine for a moment that you're a sailor on a ship in mid-ocean during the most vicious storm imaginable, it's as black as night, and the ship is pitching and rolling about, virtually helpless in fierce conditions that mean it's barely able to go forward at all. The captain and all the crew are terrified. In conditions like that, more than normal, the captain is reliant on his compass, or these days, his GPS navigation equipment, to know which way to steer the ship, because avoiding the rocks is critical for everyone on board. Well, for us, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Christ, our compass, our GPS navigator, is the Bible, the Word of God. And we use it to guide us, to show us the way forward, to lead us out of the blackness that we find ourselves in from time to time. And for many of us, the blackness that we're currently experiencing is lockdown and the associated pandemic that's behind that lockdown, and how it's changed our lives so profoundly. And some people are asking where God is. Others are asking, what's God doing about this pandemic? And in human terms, perhaps these questions are ones that may well come to our minds. We tend to think that things are out of control. They're not working out the way that we had expected them to. And sometimes God reminds us of who is in control, and it's not us. It's not us. Sometimes when we take a step back and look at ourselves and what we've accomplished in life, we forget the ultimate backdrop to our lives. And that backdrop is the person, the character, and the plan of God. The Bible reminds us that God's ways are not our ways. And in Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So the fact that our human minds are limited compared to the mind of God perhaps accounts for the fact that we don't always understand what's going on in our world or why. Well, let's tune in to see what the Bible is telling us in this pandemic season. And I want to reiterate some of the aspects that Kevin and Paul have mentioned in their very helpful contributions to our service this morning. The ancient Persians and the Israelites have differing views about the origin of the saying, "This too shall pass." But whatever its origin, the Bible helps us understand what does pass and what remains. And what remains right through history and into eternity. Let's look at a few verses that talk about this. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 31, Jesus talks about something that's passing away when he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And what a claim. It's no wonder that so many people in Jesus' day thought, "Who is this man? My words," he said, "will never pass away." And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, tells us, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." Imagine that, knowledge passing away. And James in chapter 1, verse 10 tells us that money and riches will pass away. He says, "But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower." And the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 summarizes what will pass away for us. He says, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Whoever does the will of God lives forever. So as believers in Jesus, it's clear that when we pass into eternity, some things will pass away. Knowledge, money, riches, like the wildflowers, pain, ill health. As Paul's reminded us, there are no aches and pains in heaven. Our body passes away. Fear. There is no fear in heaven. And the desires of our worldly selves, these pass away also. When eternity comes, these things pass away completely. But even in this life, there are some things that will also pass away. And being aware that, we are broadcasting this morning's service on YouTube and more broadly, one of the things that passes away applies if you haven't yet committed your life to Christ. If you've never become a Christian, sometimes you'll feel a sense of deep unease. It's like God is calling your name, but you don't really want to answer him. There are certain times, if you're someone who isn't yet a Christian, when you feel that sense that God is troubling you deep inside. and inviting you to commit to him and connect with him. This too shall pass. The Bible tells us that God will not always wrestle or strive with men and women. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, we read, "Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever." And we read in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 2, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you." And Paul says, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation." If you keep ignoring God knocking at the door of your life, and you go on ignoring him, the knocking will eventually stop. It too shall pass. So if you hear God's spirit tugging at your heart, if you hear God speaking to you, don't put off responding to him. Ask God for the forgiveness that comes through Jesus, and give your life in obedience and faith and trust in him. So we've seen that there's a long list of things that will disappear in eternity, but perhaps the more interesting list to think about is the list of those things that in eternity will not pass away. And Bible verses help us to build up a bit of a picture of what will last for eternity, what will persist, what will survive everything that comes in the future. And I've saved you the trouble of looking through the whole Bible to find all of these. So here we are. Here's a short list. There's really a much longer list than this, but I wanted to present these verses to you this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, we read, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And a little earlier in that chapter, in verse 8, we read, "Love never fails. Love never fails." And we know that when we arrive in heaven, we will be surrounded everywhere by love. Those who do the will of God. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, we read, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." The word of God. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 31, we read, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And it's Jesus speaking, of course. The fulfillment of God's promises. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we read, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, said, "I believe the promises of God enough to venture an eternity on them. I believe the promises of God enough to venture an eternity on them." God's glory. And the city, and this is from Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, and speaking about the new heaven. "And the city of God has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamb, I beg your pardon, its lamp is the lamb. Its lamp is the lamb. So Jesus becomes the light that floods heaven. Every nook, every corner, there is no shadow, there is no darkness. And God's peace. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, we read, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And that's a wonderful promise that we can cling to in this pandemic season. God's eternal power. We read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." God's eternal power and divine nature. Well, as I've said, this is really a short list of all the things that await us in eternity, things that will persist, things that will remain. And for us, it's a great encouragement. Particularly in this pandemic season, it's a list that we can return to again and again and be lifted up and encouraged. And as followers of Jesus, we can always turn to the Word of God and receive great encouragement and blessing. Thinking about the things that remain in eternity also gives us some sound guidance for how we should be living our lives right now. And some of you will have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a great German theologian. He lived between 1906 and 1945. And he was a theologian and a churchman who refused to turn his back on the Jewish people. He refused to bow down to the Nazi regime in 1940s Germany. He refused to be quiet. And he spoke up about the evils of the Third Reich and was imprisoned. And eventually, it was a bit like the Apostle Paul. He had the opportunity to escape from prison, but he did not. He had the opportunity to stay in the United States, but he returned to Germany to be with his people and to speak up when he saw evil taking place. And eventually, Bonhoeffer was executed by the Nazis on the order of Adolf Hitler himself. He was hanged in the Stark execution yard at Flossenbürg concentration camp. Prior to that, he wrote a number of books which are still widely read today, including Letters and Papers from Prison, and perhaps one of his better known works, The Cost of Discipleship. And Bonhoeffer has some words for us today. He said, "God does not give us everything we want, but he does fulfill his promises, leading us along the best and straightest paths to himself." God does not give us everything we want, but he does lead us along the best and straightest paths to himself. He does fulfill all his promises. And if during this pandemic season we are feeling a bit like life is out of control, perhaps we can remind ourselves that the God we worship has wisdom far beyond ours. And his eternal plan will come to fruition. Our world is at times, at all times, I should say, our world is at all times and in every way under the control of one who is both powerful and wise, and who holds the events of human history in the palm of his hand. Events happen according to his plan. History unfolds according to his plan. Individual lives, ours included, are shaped according to his purposes. It's a world under rule, under his rule. And it's good for us to remind ourselves of the rule and the purpose and the plan of God. Just this week, I received a message from the Gideons. Now, many of you will know that the Gideons place copies of the Bible in schools and prisons and fire stations and quarantine hotels in the current situation we're in, wherever there's an opportunity to place a copy of God's word. Many of you will have stayed in hotels and motels where the Gideons have placed a copy of God's word. And the message that I received from the Gideons this week was, God is not locked down. God is not locked down. They've been able to continue their work as Gideons, placing Bibles in quarantine hotels and distributing them to workers in the quarantine hotels. And the Gideons have seen lives touched by those Bibles. As people have read those Bibles, their lives have been touched and changed. God is not locked down. His eternal plan hasn't been disrupted, even though our lives have been disrupted a bit. And the more we align our thinking with God's eternal plan, the more we view our lives in the context of God's plan, the less we'll be feeling that our lives are out of control. But it isn't simply about God's wisdom, his power, and his plan. It's about the promise of God to be with us, as Paul reminded us earlier. The promise of God to be with us, to be a loving Father, to give us good things, to never neglect us or leave us alone. God is a God of mercy and grace. He's a God of grace because we don't get the thing that we should deserve. With our rebellion against God, we deserve to be punished. But God, and don't you love those words? And you see them time and again in the New Testament in particular. But God punished his son in our place so that while we were yet sinners, while we were rebellious against God's rule in our lives, God punished his son in our place and made us daughters of God, sons of God, by adopting us into his heavenly family. He's a God of mercy because only a merciful God would bother with us at all. And let me share with you a verse from Lamentations chapter 3. And Lamentations, of course, as the name implies, is one of those books of the Bible that is full of lament. But here we have some encouraging words that I'd like to share with you this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Brothers and sisters, this means that God's mercies are not just new every morning, but they are newly tailored for you. for me. And not merely newly tailored for you once. No, they are newly tailored for you each and every morning. Each and every morning. What a great promise. And so the fact that the mercies of God are tailored for you in particular, for you personally, means that it's no good you're getting my mercies or my getting yours. No, God has particular mercies for you today. God has particular mercies for you tomorrow. And he has particular mercies for you every day this week and right through to the end of your days. So if you find this pandemic difficult to cope with, I have a suggestion for you this morning. Write or print out on a piece of paper these words: God's mercies are new every morning for me. And stick it on the mirror. So when you shave or put your makeup on or do your hair or clean your teeth, you'll be able to read these words and to know that not only is God with you today, but that he has a fresh set of mercies tailored just for you, just for today. And tomorrow it will be the same again. And when you get to the evening, remember to include those mercies in your mental review of how the day has gone. So whether you put the words on your mirror or perhaps on the dashboard of your car to see on the way to and from work, remind yourself of the fact that God's mercies are new every morning, specifically for you. When you think about your life and how it's going, never forget how God's grace and his mercies have shaped your life, and be thankful. Stand in awe of God's presence. Stand in awe of God's grace. Be amazed by God's mercies and never forget. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, how we thank and praise you that your mercies are new and fresh for us individually every morning. Father, we bless you and thank you for the fact that you are with us to bring fresh and new visions of yourself, fresh help every day. And Father, in times of trial, we thank you that you are standing alongside us, helping us and blessing us. Father, we thank you for the reminder this morning from your word of all of those wonderful promises that will never pass away. We thank you that this pandemic will pass away. We thank you that in the meantime, you are strong to save. You are strong to accomplish your purposes through us. You are strong to reach out to others through us. You are strong to bring comfort and blessing to each of us. Help us to be those who reach out in every way we can to those who need to hear your message of hope, your message of grace, your message of the Jesus who died to make us new, to make us sons and daughters of the living God. Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.